Hello and welcome to another episode of Juicebox Music Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock. On the other line with me, business unusual, it's Nicholas Moreau.
What's up, guys? I'm back.
I'm glad we're taping this episode before the World Cup final so that I don't have to, you know, we have some time off in the event that France does win, because it's going to be pretty insufferable for a while.
Well, I have to say we're taping this on a Wednesday, and I'm already nervous about the final. And Croatia just beat England, so. And yes. It's not a spoiler at this point.
Hopefully we'll be, like, picking up all the pieces over the next week once Croatia beats France and...
Oh, shut up.
And we'll be moving on with our lives. I just hope so. I hope everything will work out.
You're really for Croatia?
Of course.
What?
I'm like, how can I root for France?
Why can't you?
I'm American.
There's Mbappe.
I have no allegiances to France.
Do you have any for Croatia?
I heard they have a lovely coastline.
Oh my god!
And they're the second smallest country to ever be in the World Cup. I mean, how can you not? It's the underdog.
Okay. After this podcast, we're not talking for a week.
Well, we're gonna get. I want to get things started on the right foot, Nick. Since we're counting down some lists of top albums of 2018 so far on this episode, mm-hmm. So we'll see if we can notch up the contention just a little bit more with this episode.
Okay,
I'm gonna take you on. We've each picked out a few of our favorite albums of the year. Yeah, to talk about five each.
Five each. So we thought we'd do this at the end of June, so we're about right. You know, first half of the year.
Half of the year is properly over. I noticed a lot of people doing lists in the beginning of June, which I just don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you had a whole good music part to get through.
Yeah, are they just trying to get the content out there before people head to the beach for the 4th of July? I mean, we're back now. We're back solidly in July. Kids are almost back in school at this point.
Yeah, you based on our suggestion, we can still make a summer playlist. Which, by the way, we might just publish a summer playlist after this episode. I don't know.
It will be I Like It Like That by Cardi B 12 times in a row. I think.
There's a few songs that on my list, or at least from the albums I'm going to list, that, you know, you could do that too.
So five albums each, just like our five-star reviews that you keep dropping on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever else people rate and review podcasts that we don't even know about. But if that's how you're listening to us, rate it. And then also do it on iTunes.
Yeah.
Do it on both.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, don't forget to do it. You know the drill.
So, man, this is a big thing, because we have been recording this show, doing the show since basically the very beginning of the year, very beginning of January 2018. So this, in some ways, is not only a wrap-up of the first half of the year, but a wrap-up of our show to start with, you know?
That's right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So what do you think so far? I mean, has this, in relative to first half of years past, does this feel like a really good year for music?
I do. It's funny. I was having this conversation over 4th of July with a friend, and he thought that he asked me what my top 10 albums were, and I just kind of named 10 in no particular order that came to mind. And he was like, I have a hard time even saying that, talking about three albums that were good.
Mm-hmm.
But I would disagree. I think this has been a fantastic year for music. I can't say if it's because I'm doing this now. Like, I've always obviously paid a lot of attention to music. I'm not doing this coming from nowhere, I guess, but I've never had to think about it this way. So maybe there's a little bit of that, but I do think that there's been some really good albums, and I struggle to find a week where I haven't had something interesting to listen to. What about you?
Yeah, there's obviously been a lot for us to talk about this year, with a few down weeks here and there, but most of those down weeks were usually met with a week where there was too much for us to even talk about. It seems like, especially over the month of June, there was a ton coming at us. What's interesting is seeing how things stick months later, you know, and revisiting some of the things that we loved when they came out, and seeing if we've kind of moved on to other things, or what are those things that just stay with you over the course of the year?
Yeah.
And I found that this year there was quite a few things that have kind of come out, and the last month or so is still hard for me to evaluate because I don't know how long those records will stick with me, like the ones that we've talked about in the last few weeks. But I definitely have enough to make what would seem to me to be like a great top 10 list for a whole year already.
I agree. One thing that's interesting is, back to your comment about the last month, I think in general, summer is always the hardest time period for me to really get deep with music. There's so much going on that it's been like June was really hard. I'm interested to see how July and August are going to be from like paying attention to music with time off, travel, just being outside more, and what kind of music I gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what are those backyard grilling albums for the summer going to be?
Yeah, I can tell you right now, like I've been listening to a lot of The Blaze, especially the two singles from their upcoming album, just because it's great summer music. And exactly that, we play it outside, and a lot of music in that vein that's a little more up-tempo, a little happier, maybe not as much British punk.
That's kind of a wintry thing in a way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's get down to it. So we're going to just talk about five albums each in no particular order at all that we think are strong contenders and will be around at the end of the year when we come up with our albums of the year list. So why don't you start, Nick? What's the first album you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I want to talk about an album that we didn't actually review, but an album that I talked about on a few shows, and it's Seisumi's album. I think I mentioned that. I think on that album, Seisumi, the South Korean band that you might have heard me talk about, they have what I believe is one of the songs of the year so far in their lead single, Old Town. And I was really high up on the single, if you remember, but I was really pleasantly surprised by the album because it's just one of those albums that I put on and I never skip a track, which to me is always a kind of a mark of a quality album. Cause I think, the art form of DLP is maybe slowly dying.
Yeah. We're still out here talking about it for some reason, but maybe the next generation, it will be a complete non-entity.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love this album. I think it's also the kind of music that I get really excited about. I compare it to kind of Rolling Blackout, Coastal Fever, but I like this album better than that band's album of this year. I'd be really excited to see them live as well. I think it's really, I really like the idea of a band from maybe a part of the world where we're not used to hearing this kind of music. And when I think people think about Korea in the US, they think about K-pop. And a little tangent on K-pop. There's a great K-pop short documentary on Netflix off the Vox Explained, if you have seen this series. And it's K-pop Explained. Really interesting. But
K-pop is huge.
Yeah. So I didn't realize how big K-pop was even in the US, right? But this album is just, they sing in English, they sing in Korean. I think the songwriting is really good. It's got some fast beats, some slower songs, and they're all really beautiful songs. And I'd encourage it for everyone. I also think it's, speaking of summer, it's a great summer album. Just really fun to listen to. The album is called Where We Were Together.
And do you know anything about like how they formed or how like they discovered their influences? Because it is such an anomaly to hear a band like this coming from South Korea.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they've been they were all friends from middle school, I think, and I believe that the lead singer is a girl that they encounter later. I would say their music is, very shoegazy kind of surf music, which is really cool. I surf rock coming from, Southeast Asia is kind
of. They got a lot of coastline over there.
Yeah, and I've heard Busan is a great surf town. I think they made us friends, and then the guitar player and the bassist, I believe, were friends in middle school, and then slowly met the drummer, and then finally the lead singer about 5 or 6 years ago. They have one debut album that released in 2013, and then have released this series of EP, which I believe they released another EP in 2018 called "It's Just a Short Walk," and that EP all songs off of their second LP where we were together.
All right, cool. They haven't toured in the US yet, have they?
They did play at South by Southwest, and I think they just did a UK tour right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they come by in the US soon. What I do know is, having spoken to their management and their kind of people, that they're, even though they're very proficient, it seems, at singing in English, their English right now for just kind of speaking English is rather limited. Well, what about you, Hunter? So let me hear one of your choices. I'm excited.
Oh, so I mean, this was actually tricky for me. It was easy for me to come up with the first like three or possibly four, but getting in that fifth slot was tough because there is a lot of things kind of itching to get in there right now. So I don't know where things are really going to end up at the end of the year. But first record I want to talk about is the self-titled debut album from London band Goat Girl. We talked about this album on the show, and they're kind of, they have a funny kind of, dynamic with the band Shame, and they're both from the same area, and they're kind of very supportive of each other. And we talked about them on one of the very early episodes and this whole kind of scene going on in London. And this is an album with a lot of songs on it. It really like holds my attention months later after it's come out, because I can't quite wrap my brain around it. I like every song on it, but I don't know really why. And it's, it's got this sort of scuzzy lo-fi sound, but with like a lot of great hooks and interesting lyrics that are kind of obtuse to me a little bit, and just sound like something I never heard before. So this, I kind of can't stop. I've been compulsively listening to it since it's come out, and it's just emerged as one of my favorite records of the year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really like that record too. Probably would be on my top 10, but didn't make my top 5 of the halfway point.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of has this very earthy, people compare it to like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, but to me it's a little bit more anthemic than that. And I haven't seen any of them play live ever before. They haven't come to the West Coast of the US at all. And I just, they're so mysterious to me that, I enjoy that element. I wonder if it'll be kind of a flash with the debut album, or that'll be something that they'll be able to keep up in the future.
Yeah, I'm curious about to see them live. I'm actually very curious as to how they are live. I haven't heard anything about their live show. So
they look really cool. Excited. They have cool names. So yeah. I think that would be fun. But what's your second album on the list?
Well, I think it comes to no surprise. Again, in no particular order, but we talked about this album at length, Hookworms. Latest album, that's on my list. I think, I was, and I think you were too, a big Hookworms fan, maybe me so more than you.
A lukewarm Hookworms fan, but lukewarm. I was still interested in them.
Yeah, and then they released this album, Microshift, which I believe is their fourth album. Am I right? Yeah.
I think it's the third. Third
album. And it kind of blew me away because they kind of went away from Pearl, Mystique, and The Hum, which I believe that, in my mind, Pearl, Mystique, and The Hum are kind of 1A and 1B. It just feels like it's almost from the same recording session. Mm-hmm. But Microshift, more, no pun intended, but like the lead single is, something that you haven't heard Hookworms play, something that a DFA Records band would have put out the band, the single being Negative Space. And I think it is the one of the most complete albums from start to finish. Like when I think about the what a great album has, this checks a lot of those boxes. And you know, I'm completely in love with this album. I listen to it to this day, holds my attention all the time. I have to say Negative Space is one of my daughter's favorite songs. She calls it Ooh-Ah-Ee-Ah. So if you know the song, you know why. But yeah, and I think, you know, there's not one bad song on this album. And there's some interesting, I'm excited, it makes me excited to see what Hookworms is going to do in the future, because I see a direction that maybe I hadn't seen in the past. So I'm excited to see another album by them, hopefully in the near future as well.
Yeah, they really took that leap that, you know, some bands fortunately get to take, where they have a couple of like experimental albums, but you kind of don't know where they're going to continue with that style, and like if it's just going to be the same thing album after album, your interest will kind of dwindle a little bit. Or are they just kind of, I feel like they just cleared the mud off their windscreen, or like, you know, ripped a blanket off or something, and they have this much clearer, more focused sound, and it's a real leap for them. And it's a really great record. I like it a lot. I mean, I would definitely be high on my full list of the year too.
Would you think it's your kind of surprise album you thought you weren't gonna like?
Yeah, I was not that excited for it, and I really couldn't believe that the Hookworms' new album. Like, yeah, I was pretty shocked when I heard it.
I also have to say it is my favorite album cover of the year so far.
It is cool.
Yay being second. I'm kidding.
Well, another band that I thought kind of made a similar jump this year from kind of more experimental beginnings to some kind of more focused and clarity of vision is Young Fathers with their, I guess it's like third or fourth album, depending on how you're counting mixtapes. It's called Coco Sugar. This album kind of blew me away this year, and I have not stopped playing, especially after seeing them live, one of the best live shows of the year. Kind of a, you know, they mix like rap and punk and sort of trip hop, heavy trip hop beats together in a way that's completely original, and they have a great presence. I have no idea where they could go from this. I could see them on a path to a level of popularity that I never would have guessed with their early recordings, even though they won the Mercury Music Prize in the UK.
Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to that live show in Portland, I think in November at some point.
Yeah, they're back on tour in the States in November. Everybody listening to this should go, because I think they're not going to disappoint for sure.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see them. I have to say it's one of the more unique albums I've listened to this year.
Yeah.
Like, it is, like, you know, talking to some of the albums on my list, I think on your list, even, you know, the album I just mentioned, Hookworms, like, this Young Fathers album feels very unique and different than everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been an important thing for me is this year, especially listening to so much music and even things that are really great or have really great songwriting, sometimes can kind of blend together with other things that are of high quality, but have, you know, a sound that you're more familiar with or something that you feel like you've heard before, even no matter how well done it is. And I think with my list this year, like the records that were really standing out for me, it was something that was different, something that was like really would stand out. And I wouldn't quite, I mean, most of these albums I didn't love the first time I listened to them, and they took, you know, some getting into. So I think that, you know, it's definitely a way that some things distinguish themselves, at least in my mind.
Yeah. And I have to say Young Fathers, like their style of music isn't something that you hear much. So when it's done really well, it's, you know, pretty amazing. I think about the greats in that style, like Massive Attack and maybe Portishead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're representing Scotland too, you know?
Which is always a country that produces great, great bands.
Great bands. Most beautiful country in the world, I think, was voted this past year by some legitimate publication.
Scotland Tourism.org.
Yeah, most beautiful people. You know, they've got it all going on over there, except for the World Cup team.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway, what's your next record on the list, Nick?
Yeah, well, speaking of a different genre that maybe we haven't focused on too much on the show, I want to mention the Against All Logic's surprise album of the year to me. This is Nicholas Jaar's kind of latest release under the moniker Against All Logic, which is, I guess, his first release under that moniker, but his latest release as a person.
His first, like, full length, right? I think he had done some 12 inches or singles here and there.
Yeah, I love it because, one, if it wasn't a Nicholas Jaar album, I know that I would love it. But the added bonus is that I know it's a Nicholas Jaar album, and just the way he's kind of taken it, it just doesn't feel like one of his albums as much as, you know, his solo stuff. It's somewhere, like I said, between his solo stuff and Dark Side. And it's a place of love to see him in. You know, Dark Side was one of my favorite live shows I've ever seen. And so this made me really excited. I think it's a great airplane album. Like, it's a great album to listen to on a long flight. And I love that he's able to blend this more poppy side of him, of his, or more house focused side that he has, but also at times it still feels like the performance art that you might be accustomed to on typical Nicholas Jaar albums.
He's a talented guy.
So talented. I think, you know, I'm just kind of in awe of the guy at this point. He has his own label, other people who, you know, they have so much stuff going as they do. I think they have if you go on their website, you have a live DJ set at all times. So it's just pretty amazing. And I love, love this album. And I have to say, like, this is one of the albums I've listened to the most this year and still continue to do so. Because speaking of great outdoor kind of party music you can have in the summer where you have friends over and people are outside, this one just checks all the marks. And most people I introduced to this album love it. If not, I think it's one of the best albums of the year.
Yeah, he's such an interesting guy. You never know what his next release is going to be. You don't know. He tends to release things surprisingly in different collaborations. And, you know, he could come back with like a full on rock album or do an album in collaboration with a rapper. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. Or just keep kind of doing his own thing, like, which is probably what will happen.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm always excited to see what he does next. And I don't mind him surprising us with not announcing anything, just dropping it, because it's I got giddy out of this album after he dropped it and then listened to it. It's like, oh my God, this is so good. It was and I liked that it was like, it was immediate, but it's still lasting. Like, very often with me, albums that are immediate don't last very long, but this one is like, I just find a lot of depth, and yet, like, on the first listen, it was a winner for me.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, my next record on the list, I don't want to spend too much time talking about it. We did a whole episode. You can go back to that one. But it is Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino from the Arctic Monkeys. They're just, I don't think they sold any copies of this album. You know, sold out any stadiums. We're a few months removed from it. And I want, you know, it seemed like the most divisive record in the world when it came out. It seemed like, you know, that's what the media was trying to spin it. And I don't think that they've really lost a step with this record in terms of popularity at all. And in the long run, it's, you know, it's an album that really, like, grows with you and is like lyrically pretty amazing, I think, the more time I spend with it. So I think it was a smart move on their behalf to put out something that kind of you have to absorb yourself in and it keeps the fans kind of guessing and interested. And that whole, you know, debate about that, I think it's going to go down in history as probably one of, you know, hardcore Arctic Monkeys fans' favorite albums.
Yeah, I can't agree more. This is such a good album, such a great surprise. I love the turn they took. I love like, to me, this is almost like, looking back, this is almost the only way that, I wouldn't say Arctic Monkeys survive, but stay healthy and relevant. Like, mm-hmm. if they put out another album like AM, I don't know, I think maybe the fans would be happy. I don't know if they'd be happier, but I think that the band wouldn't be as happy, you know, or as excited to play live or to keep going.
Yeah.
But to me, this is the best thing they could have done for themselves, and it just turns out to be a great album. I tend to think it's more of a concept album as well, which I think we debated on our show about. And I also think, you know, I've introduced this album to a few people who didn't pay attention to it, and it's interesting to me that for the non-Arctic Monkeys fan, a lot of people find this to be a great album.
Which is funny, because I knew some people who were not Arctic Monkeys fans, and then they heard AM, and they, you know, were like, oh, completely thought differently of them. They really loved that record. And I can see, a different group of fans coming around on this one, because it's, I mean, if you think you don't like Arctic Monkeys, this sounds a lot different than what you probably heard before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, enough about that record. We'll keep listening to that throughout the rest of the year. What's next on your list, Nick?
Well, this one's debatable as a new record, but I believe it belongs there. you know, we talked about this, I think, when we started the podcast. As one of our anticipated albums of the year, we talked about how it maybe wasn't an actual album, but I have to put it up there. I think Car Seat Headrest's Twin Fantasy deserves to be in our top five, in my top five, in our top 10. Because to me, like, even being anticipated and a little skeptical that it was going to be a re-recording of songs even like already wrote, I think what he's done with these songs is not only worth another listen, but has made this album kind of transcend the original copy. This is my point of view. I know a lot of people disagree. A lot of purists of Car Seat Headrest. But
we like that sound of using the internal microphone on a beat-up MacBook better than the full studio.
But I think that what he's shown is the prowess, like how good of a songwriter Will Toledo is. And I think what the added bonus is that seeing him live, it really made those songs come to life even more and appreciate his art. And, you know, I really love this album. And even though I anticipated it, I was so surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, I was excited for it, but it like over-delivered on what I was expecting from it.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel the same way as you, and I feel torn about it too, because I think it's a great record, and it's surprising to me. I mean, I can understand his point of view being like, these songs didn't get enough traction back then. Like, these are really, really great. I wasn't able to record it the way I wanted to then, so I should do it now. Something like Brian Wilson doing Smile comes to mind. Yeah. But on the other hand, like, these songs were written, what, over 5 years ago? And he's a young guy. I am so curious what songs he's been writing since Teens of Denial came out, you know, new songs. Hopefully he's still writing new songs and just, you know, banking them somewhere. And I'm really happy to have this album, because I think it's great. And I didn't know these songs beforehand. I didn't listen to the original Twin Fantasy ever. Because he has so many of those kind of lo-fi albums. Is all the songwriting like at this level, or there's something about this group of songs, and it is kind of a concept record that really means something to Will Toledo, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't answer that. I hadn't listened to Twin Fantasy either before, but I think, you know, this is our list of the year. To me, like, having not listened to Twin Fantasy before, this has to be in my top five, in our top 10.
Definitely.
Yeah. What about you?
Next up, this one is a good one. This is one, maybe the album that's gotten the most spin around my house in 2018 so far. This was, you know, it's kind of one of those great situations, especially when I'm making lists, I always compare it to, you know, if this is an established artist, is this album the best one of their career, or like right up there with it? Otherwise, it probably isn't going to make it into my top 10, even if it's like a band or an artist that I really love and I love all their albums and they would personally be in my top 10. We talked about this philosophy before when we did our top 10 albums of last year. But then you get the person who makes like the best album of their career. And this is Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah.
Album that's been nonstop in rotation for me. It's just like, it's perfect. And I think it's a time where you know, there's a lot of difficult things that in the world, a lot of things we're thinking about. This album just is so comforting and sounds so good. And it's just such a pleasure to listen to from front to back. And a lot of different situations. It's a great driving album. I've been doing a lot of that recently, windows down. You know, she's a country artist, but this album sounds a little bit more like Fleetwood Mac to me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in that vein, but I love her lyricism, like a lot of clever songwriting and, you know, the best country disco song in High Horse ever. It seems like it would be the worst thing in the world, a country disco song, but that's one of my favorite songs of the year. Space Cowboy, Butterfly, you know, just every song on this album is great. And it's a new step for her. And she's touring with, she's playing here in LA this weekend with Harry Styles. So she's going for the big pop audience. But I've talked about this album on probably like four or five different episodes. Somebody's called me out on that before. I kept bringing up Kacey Musgraves because we never properly reviewed it. But, you know, that's right up there with the best for me this year.
She's Hunter's Seisumi.
You know, I guess. You can't take the country out of the boy, you know what I mean? You just can't.
A boy of the South.
And we could talk, it's a whole different conversation, but you know, country's kind of in a good place right now. There's a lot of terrible stuff out there, but there's a lot of really interesting country artists, you know, kind of pushing in new directions and we have to do a country podcast sometime soon, Nick. I'm gonna take you down the rabbit hole.
Sure. I think I'm traveling in a couple of weeks. You can do it then.
Back to a solo pod. I'm going to break down all of country's trends in 2018 and really inform these listeners about what's out there.
Okay. I'm happy to be a guest on that podcast.
As long as you listen to it.
Yeah. No, you know, I haven't spent enough time with that album. I think I've listened to it twice, and it's not that I disliked it. I think it was at a time where I added like 7 albums to my rotation and just got caught up, so I need to spend some more time with it because you seem to really like it, so it must be good.
You know, pop open a cold one, put the windows down, don't drop, not while you're driving, you know, just in your house.
A road soda?
Yeah, like a Welch's grape soda, drive down the road and listen to Kacey. It'll, you know, it'll make you forget all of your troubles, Nick.
Yeah, okay.
I think we're on our last... 2 albums.
Yeah, I was, so I think this one comes to no surprise to anybody that's been listening to this show. I think this would have been on either of our lists. We just have to pick who talked about it. But for me, I have to talk about the debut album from the band Shame. You know, Songs of Praise came out early this year. I think it's one of the first albums we reviewed.
Yeah,
and well, I talked about buying all the Shame stock available. And I stand by that investment. I love this album. I still listen to it all the time. My friend, shout out to Nate, that I was driving with our 4th of July weekend with, has been really into punk lately. And so I introduced him to Idols and Shame. And I think I've converted new ears to the Shame world. I think, you know, they have a great future ahead of them.
They're really like also, the Guns N' Roses and Metallica of, you know, British indie punk, Shame and Idols.
Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Is it?
I don't know. Which one's that?
I was thinking about that. I think Shame's got to be Guns N' Roses.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, It was. I have to say, like, seeing Shame live was probably my favorite show of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe because I saw them with you, but it was. I remember leaving that venue. Was it the Echo? I think it was.
At the Echo here in Echo Park.
Yeah. And we left the venue and just, I think we both said like, holy fuck. And then,
yeah, you know, show.
Yeah, it's such a great show. I think their songwriting is great. I think they also are showing some, I'm interested to see what they do next. Like, I could see them going into a more Oasis kind of trend with, especially with the song Angie, the closer on Songs of Praise, that kind of hints at a more like traditional, like
anthemic kind of,
yeah,
arena band.
But I'm really curious in a way that I really want to see what's next. They're touring the U.S. again. I think they're coming to Portland in October. So is the band Idols, by the way. And I believe they're coming back to L.A. during that.
Yeah, at the same time, they're playing in Long Beach at a Music Feels Tastes Good festival.
Okay, that's right. So, yeah, if you haven't listened to Song of Praise and you've been listening to this podcast for the last 6 months, I don't know what you're doing. You're probably one of those people that doesn't review us on iTunes either, so do both.
Definitely not reviewing us on iTunes.
Do both, and you'll be back in our good graces, because do yourself a favor. This album is just awesome.
And bands like them don't come around that often with like that much kind of energy and charisma and just kind of feeling sort of fully formed right out of the gate like they have. So if you can see them live, even better.
Yeah. And also, you know, if I can allow us to lose even more listeners, I will make a soccer analogy. They are the Kylian Mbappe of rock and roll right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, when they play, you can tell that they just love playing. They just do it for the love of the game, the love of the craft.
So what band is Ronaldo?
Ronaldo is. Ooh, can I get back to you on that? Give me your. give me your number. Your last one, and then I'll get back to you on that one.
My last one is also a punk band of sorts. Although I think they've been, I think they're kind of lumped in with a lot of bands that have come from their city in a way that I'm not sure is entirely accurate. But it's just more of an energy thing. This album, Constant Image by Flasher. Also on Domino Records, like Arctic Monkeys. This is a record that like took me completely out of surprise. We talked about it a couple times recently. Just came out in the last month. And it's like kind of a British-influenced American rock band. But like they sort of play – all their songs are like really hooky, kind of Britpop, synth-pop influenced. But – the energy is racked up to 10. So it's like, it has this kind of almost punk like intensity at times on this album. And I think that's why, you know, being from Washington, D.C., you get compared to a lot of bands from that city's like crazy history of punk. But this is kind of, I mean, it's more of like an art school album, but I think it's perfect for what it is. It's like a half hour long, perfect like punk pop album, but like we discussed it comparing it to Culture Abuse a few weeks ago and how it's completely different sides of the spectrum. You know, it's the West Coast versus East Coast thing. This is a much more kind of art school punk pop sound as opposed to like, you know, Hot Dogs on the Beach California pop sound. Hot Dogs on the Beach sound, is that a thing?
I can picture it. Or I can, okay. I think it's a thing. Yeah.
But
Flash, you know, is great. I love that album. Yeah,
kind of came out of nowhere for me and was the last addition to my list. You know, like there could have been like five other albums taking this lot. And, you know, this is just for me right now in the summertime, the urgency of it. Great. It's great. House cleaning music. I get things done a little bit faster when I put this on. And it just like so many memorable songs. So yeah, that's my last one, Constant Image by Flasher.
Yeah, and a little bit of Autolux sound to them, which is always welcome in my circles.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, I love that album, too.
Bass Dust.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that album. I agree. So on your Ronaldo question.
Coming back around to this.
Coming back around. I think, I don't know if it's an apt comparison. Maybe. I think Ronaldo is Muse.
Whoa. All right, this is a fire. This is a fire take right here. This is not what I was expecting. Ronaldo is Muse.
Ronaldo is still capable of flashes of brilliance, right? But he's not quite what he used to be. In my book, right? Uh-huh. He's 33. Now moved to Juventus. You know.
Yeah, big news.
Can enjoy the Italian countryside or the Italian Alps, I guess, closer to Torino. And, you know, he can do a bicycle kick in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. He can win the Champions League 3 years in a row, which is probably, Muse can probably win some awards, right? But you'd have to say that Origin of Symmetry is Muse at their best. And I think that Ronaldo maybe 5 years ago is probably better than he is today.
You think Muse is probably still winning like tons of MTV Europe awards?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Matt Bellamy. But Matt Bellamy is probably living in the Alps somewhere too, with lots of Swedish bank accounts, Swiss bank accounts, controlling all of his money assets.
And they're pretty polished. And you know, Ronaldo famously gets a haircut before every game. And he's sporting the goatee right now. He's got some questionable fashions taste sometimes, and I would say Muse does too. I think they're both great in their own way, but you know, Muse might win some MTV awards, but they're not winning the Juice Box Awards. And so what's more important to you?
Ronaldo will give him a Juice Box Award, though.
Okay, if he wants to come on for an interview and debate our choice, here it is. Cristiano, we compared you to Muse. Please defend yourself if you don't think it's apt. If you just at us on Twitter, at Juicebox Music Pod.
And Ronaldo, for the record, I think my comparison for you would be the Beatles, because you're one of the greatest of all time.
Okay. I'm just sucking up to him.
He just compared you to Muse. I compared you to the Beatles. Which one of us do you want to talk to when you come on?
This is where we lost all our listeners.
Oh my gosh, what's happened to us?
I'm sorry. So Flasher, yeah, I agree. Great album. great album, though. I totally agree. And I can't wait to see them live. They're coming next week to Portland.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that on the next episode of the show. If you agree or disagree with us, let us know. Let us know what your top five albums of 2018 are so far. Tweet us, send it over on Instagram, juiceboxmusicpod@gmail.com. Let us know what band you would compare any world famous football players to. So we're going to keep that going on the show.
Great question.
Ronaldo, he compared you to Muse.
Stop it.
The disrespect.
Well, anyway. You know, whatever.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right.